Hi, y'all. It's good to be back. I don't know about you, but this morning was a little weird because, you know, 72 hours ago I was in Colorado and the barometric pressure was changing from having like nice days in the 80s to snow the day after I left. And then, so it was in the 80s, and then within 48 hours, it was going to be down close to freezing. So, and then I did a wedding yesterday afternoon at 4:30 outside. And so when I got up this morning, I was going through my closet, and there was a part of my brain just going, "Now hang on a minute. You don't want something this heavy. It's hot out there." No, it's really not. No, okay. So we had a little battle in my closet this morning. And it was just me and me. It's kind of what all our battles are, though, aren't they? It's me versus me, really. And so I am going to talk about forgiveness today. Thank you to Mary Grace Sorensen, who was here last week, gave you very enthusiastic and joyful talk about prosperity and abundance. And I'll get to it today, how forgiveness and abundance, prosperity go hand in hand. But I just want to remind you, if you haven't heard this before, that old saying about holding a grudge or holding anger or not forgiving someone else is like poisoning yourself and expecting it to kill the other person, which is hardly ever effective. Haven't seen it work. Obviously, forgiveness is a big topic for us, because there are books written about it. There are a whole series of classes about it. It's what we do in our therapy work. It's what we do in our 12-step work. It's what we do in our spiritual and human realms. It's the process of forgiveness. So I'm going to talk a lot about the spiritual part of it and some about the human part of it. But I love the fact that forgiveness is something that we're having to really learn. We're always having to learn it, because we've got this very human element of ourselves with our feet planted firmly on the ground, sometimes to our own detriment. We've got our feet planted on the ground, still stuck in an old way of thinking that's about an eye for an eye. It's about something bad happening and someone being punished for the bad that they did. We're stuck in that thing in which, even not even looking at the Judeo-Christian heritage of all this, of curses being put upon people, you know. So we have to, did you see that I held my little cursing fingers because I was negating them. I didn't want you to think I was doing anything underhanded up here. So we have to go through this process of retraining ourselves about forgiveness, because in this human realm, we want justice. We want vindication. We want revenge. We want an apology. We want an apology. But I would ask us to look at the people that we consider our heroes and heroines, living or dead. I don't know that there's anyone that we consider heroic that we honor because they were so good at holding a grudge. I mean, can you think of anybody? By God, they died with that grudge. Good for them. No. So it must be important to us. And we know the grace of being forgiven by others and being forgiven by ourselves and being forgiven by spirit, which is kind of not an accurate phrase. We don't have to be forgiven by God because God sees our perfection. We don't have anything out there punishing us but ourselves. Do you understand? If you're holding on to a little bit inside you that might be going, "Yeah, but except for." Oh, and yeah, karma. You know, that one. Who's doing all that? We are. We're the ones that are doing that. We punish ourselves for our own actions, don't we? And we see others being much more forgiving of us than we are about ourselves. So if we look at it in the pure, absolute spiritual sense, there is never anything in us to be forgiven. So if you've got New Testament conditioning that says that somebody died for you to be forgiven, so that from here on out, any bad thing you do, it's already taken care of, just going to kind of reframe that a little bit. If there's nothing to be forgiven, no forgiveness is necessary in the realm of spirit. Do you understand that? Can you embrace it? I'm not getting a wholehearted affirmative response on that. There is nothing that you have to do to beg God to overlook something you wish you hadn't done. It's already done. Because either spirit is perfection or it has flaws in it. Which God do you want? I'd rather have the God of perfection that understands my human nature and sees me as who I truly am. And that's a huge thing for us to be able to incorporate into our lives, because we start eliminating the factor of guilt. We do get better at course correction. We do get better at that. I promise. We do get better at saying, oh man, I did that again. I vow to do better. I vow to myself. I also vow to myself to be compassionate and understanding and patient when I don't live up to that standard, when I miss that mark, when I sin. So, as far as karma goes, if you did something and you think karma's going to come back around and get you, it probably will, because you're thinking it's going to, so it probably will. See, the key word there is thinking. So, and, you know, even more than, well, we do it to ourselves a lot, but we also expect it for others. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Saw what you did there, karma. Karma's coming for you. What a loving, compassionate way to view our fellow human beings. I'm just going to hide over here and watch till karma comes back around. Oh yeah, somebody comes flying around me in a car. It's like, I hope there's a cop up there that catches you. Yes, my friends, I have sinned. I have sinned so bad on that. And then if there is, you know, on the rare occasion that they do get caught for their actions, I'm like, but you see, the thing is, if we're going to be that, then we also have to be the one that says, oh man, there will be consequences to what I'm doing right now. Am I ready to accept the consequences, just like I'm ready for consequences to be visited upon others? You see, at some point we have to laugh about our human nature to bring the light touch to us. Now, this is not to say that we're not responsible for making amends, because we are. We are responsible for making things right with other human beings, and everything for which we have not forgiven ourselves, we are in the process of forgiving in ourselves. Everything that's in there, as long as we hold on to it and don't do something about it, it is using up our valuable energy. That is an undelivered communication that needs to be delivered. Either saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong, and I will live better. I will treat you better. and then do it. Or living amends, in which you change your behavior, and all is done. You know how good it feels when somebody forgives you, when you have offered your apology, or even if you haven't, and they've already extended the grace of forgiveness in themselves, they've come to peace, and you receive the blessing of that. Wouldn't you love to give that gift to others? That does not mean that you go up to somebody who may not know that they harmed you and go, hey, what you did back there, I forgive you. Now, that's forgiveness as a weapon, and we're not going to weaponize forgiveness. You can do a lot of forgiving of yourself and others right in here. Speak when you need to. Live as you shall. Do you know who holds grudges besides humans? Crows. I looked at several sources to make sure I wasn't getting, you know, led astray on this thing. Crows hold grudges. Not only do they hold grudges, they tell the rest of the murder of crows that they live in. You know, that's a group of crows, it's a murder. So they tell the rest of the murder what happened. So they hold grudges, they gossip, and they take revenge. Do not mess with a crow, because they will find you. And all their friends will show up too. So now, next time you're holding a grudge against somebody, just say, oh, huh, I'm being a crow. Did I tell all my friends about it? Yep, did that too. Do I want revenge? Yep. I think we can do better than that, don't you? So remember now, I'm talking in the realm of spiritual forgiveness. As far as working on the human realm, this is not to minimize abuse or violence that was done against you in any way whatsoever. Please hear that. If abuse or violence was visited upon you as a child or as an adult, verbal or physical, that work is going to be for you to do psychologically by whatever means you need to bring about that healing in yourself. But at some point, we are also responsible for coming to a point of neutrality about that person so that they no longer are taking up space in our minds and our hearts. They're no longer living there rent-free, continuing to damage us. And that is our job. Do the psychological work and do the spiritual work so that you can release the person who might have harmed you. And beloved, don't expect apologies. I read a beautiful thing that brings this all into the realm of prosperity. Grudges are for those who insist they are owed something. Forgiveness, however, is for those who are substantial enough to move on. Do you hear that substantial in there? Let's look at the root of that word. That implies substance. And where does substance come from? God. So to say somebody owes me an apology means I am not sufficient in myself in the presence of God and with the God Spirit that lives in me. I need somebody else to fill that in. And you do not. Do you see? I'm talking about somebody owing you an apology. Somebody owing you an amends. If you're going to hold on to that, you are saying to yourself, you know, God's not enough for me. I need that other person there to fill in the blank or blanks. Wow. How can we be abundant in our living if we're walking around with perceived holes in ourselves because of what somebody did or didn't do? I don't think we want to live that way, do you? I had never thought of it in that way before. God and I are not enough. Your apology would make me complete, though. No. Would it be gratifying? Yeah. For about that long. Because it still has to happen in here. And sometimes that apology helps us to move toward forgiveness faster. But we still have to do the work ourselves, my friends. The work of forgiveness. We still have to do that. I love what Alan Cohen said about it. Remember great Alan Cohen, such a good writer. He said, you have the power to take away someone's happiness by refusing to forgive. That someone is you. You have the power to take away someone's happiness by refusing to forgive. That someone is you. And we expect forgiveness to come to us like we're waiting on it. We're waiting on something to shift inside. We're waiting for a key to turn in the lock. This is, oh yeah, now I can forgive. Ah, I feel it, therefore I can do it. We have to choose it, my friends. We have to choose forgiveness. You know, when I marry couples, I remind them that the vows that they take on their wedding day have to be renewed every day. Because it's not a one-and-done deal. You have to choose every day that you want to be married to that person. Sometimes you don't even want to. You're willing to be married to that person. You're willing to be married to that person. So you renew that vow every day. You choose it. You know that old joke about, I told you I loved you on the day we got married. Why do I need to keep saying it? Because love is a choice. Love isn't just a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is not just a feeling. We're commanded to do it. We're commanded to do it. Forgive one another. Like I've already forgiven you. Forgive one another. It said so in the Daily Word today, too. Forgive one another. And that 70 times 7 thing that's in Scripture, that is not because the other person needs it 70 times 7 times. But you might. You might need it 490 times. You might need to say, oh, yes, I am in the process of forgiving. I choose forgiveness today. And eventually the sting of the slight begins to wear. And that's when we come to that position of neutrality. We're not necessarily forgetting, but you know the difference between remembering a thing and it just kind of floats by you, and remembering a thing, grabbing it out of the flow of thoughts, bringing it down here, clenching onto it, cradling it, throwing fire at it, making it grow. Clutching it to yourself, usually right here in your solar plexus is where you clutch it to yourself. That's good for your body. We clutch it to ourselves, we nurture it, we grow it like a stinky little plant. That's the one. And we're working on the forgiveness element so that when that thought comes, we go, oh yeah, I remember that. And it goes right on by. I don't know if that's how your thought stream appears, but that's how mine appears. It's just this little, like, the stock market ticker, you know? Oh, yeah, they did that to you. Yep, that's right. Oh, wait, hold on, back up. Yeah, I'm going to dwell on this one for a while. I'm going to dwell on this nasty little thought because it makes me feel good. It gives me some energy. It gets me all righteous. We like that, folks. We are human beings. that have this little primitive thing in us that wants to, you know, duke it out with ourselves. You see how we are? We're so precious. We're so strong and fragile. You know, we're so mindless and conscious. We're compassionate. We're hateful. We have all of those things. And eventually we come to a point of neutrality about ourselves as well. I am observing myself right now in my self-pity. Okay, what is that trying to tell me? Is it trying to tell me, take a break, take care of yourself for a minute, acknowledge this hurt, fatigue, whatever, anxiety? And so we can do that, or we can get down there in the self-pity and then make everybody sick of us that are around us, right? Just like, oh God, they're whining again. Helps no one, especially doesn't help you. The self-pity thing may also be an indication to you that a part of you has not yet grown up. And that's where the psychological part happens. The part of you that's feeling overburdened, anxious, tired, is that your adult self? Or is that your child self going, this job's too big for me. I can't do this. I'm little. And there are plenty of good therapists out there who help you, introduce you and say, hey, I'd like you to meet this little child that lives in you, shake hands, and go take care of this little child from now on. You see? We're all constantly being revealed to ourselves. And a lot of times that righteousness or that anger is a good thing to get us to take action where we need to take action. It is our impetus toward doing something positive about the experience. And you see, when you're moving in that direction, do you hear the difference between doing that and storming off and breaking things? You see, there's a difference in that. My husband was given two medications at the same time that he should not have been given. Could have had a fatal effect on him. And the doctor that missed it was like, oh, well, mistakes happen. It's like, yeah, no. So I had this big flare-up, and I had to tell the story a couple of times. I went, no, okay, all right, done with the story. Now it's time to take an action, which is probably going to end up with a report to the TMA because this had some deleterious effects on Bill's health. But that's an action I can take. I no longer have to murder that doctor in my mind anymore. You know? Because the murder doesn't hurt him a bit. The murder hurts me. It's stabbing myself. Ouch. And that's the way unforgiveness and anger work in us. We can just keep harming ourselves, or we can work toward forgiveness. Even that one thing that you might be thinking about right now, where you're going, mm-mm, I'm not ready to forgive that. Just note to yourself, that thing you say, I'm not ready to forgive that yet, just know that it's riding around like that bag of rocks. You're just dragging a bag of rocks around with you, which is fine. Go ahead and do that. Just know that when you get tired and frustrated, it could be because there's a bag of rocks you're dragging around with you. And if you say, well, I need to be ready to forgive. Okay, move toward choosing. Move toward choosing forgiveness. And if you're having difficulty with it, talk with a trusted friend. Talk with your pastor. Talk with a therapist. And say, oh, having trouble letting this one go. And if it were me you were talking to, I would say, what is it costing you to hold on to it? What is the benefit you're gaining by holding on to it? What are you getting out of it to hold on to it? That little punch of adrenaline every time you think about it, that wears out your adrenal glands, you know? And we need those to go about the work of our good, productive, spirit-filled lives. That's what we need our adrenaline for, is the things that we're passionate and excited about. Not forgetting, mad. I was going to say the P word, but... Let's use our energy for something good. Let's open up a space in us that may be blocked off, dark, full of cobwebs and dank water and all that stuff. Let's open that room up. Give it some light and some sun and some air. Let's open that up so that you have more space in which to play. To play. Oh my goodness. Yesterday, we had our reinitiation of the Wise Women group yesterday morning. Any of you ladies in church are invited to come join us third Saturday of every month, 10 to 12. And we met yesterday morning, and the topic we were going to discuss was fairly lighthearted, like, what's the biggest change you've experienced in the last 2 years? Do you know? Fairly lighthearted. And you know, we ended up talking about life passages of all kinds. Letting go of parents, letting go of homes. How we think about death, the culture of death in our country. And we got earthy and we got elevated. And we laughed. We laughed a lot, even amidst our tears. That's the kind of play I'm talking about. Play in your life with all that passion. Free up all that space. You know, you don't need to nurture and keep breaking open that wound. Let it heal over and scar. And you know, a scar feels a whole lot different than a fresh wound. So we have an opportunity to live more richly. We have an opportunity to live more abundantly when we work on our forgiveness. It's essential. It's a choice. It's life-giving. And beloved, if the object of your unforgiveness is yourself, oh, beloved one, start seeing yourself with all your beautiful flaws, exactly as God sees you, perfect and brave and heroic, the hero of your own story. That's who you are. That's who you truly are. And we get mired down in all those thoughts and all those memories and all that guilt and all that, what a mess. When we have a freedom tool available as the next breath, as the next prayer, as the next tear, we have all of that available to us. So, beloved, if you will, let's pray for a moment. And let's move a little bit of energy, shall we? How about we do that? A writer named David Cunliffe said, when we embrace forgiveness, we instantaneously dissolve stagnant energies from our life, pain and anger that has no benefit or purpose. And in doing so, we open that space in our heart for greater peace, love, and healing. So just know that in this room of people and those that are joining us online, we are safe with each other. We hold each other's hearts in trust and tenderness so that we're able to do that which is sometimes difficult to do in our spiritual and human lives. And so this is your safe place to open your heart to yourself and say, oh yeah, there's that thing right there. I'm still holding on to that. I have not yet reached a place of neutrality. And so if it's just one thing today, it can be about another person, about yourself, about an institution, about a system in our world. That one place that has not yet forgiven. And you'll know the difference because of the energetic grab that it has in your body. Just take that one thing and isolate it. And I want you to begin to slowly and deliberately look at that person, at yourself, at that group of people, and begin to place beautiful blocks of light around that. We're going to build a wall of light. Just put light around it. And if your thoughts come up that say to you, I can't do that, then call on the will and the spirit of the living Christ in you to assist you to do that which seems too difficult. And in building that wall of light around this, we're putting it in its own container in which it will be viewed differently. Because you see, as we build the light around it, the light goes in and out. It begins the cleansing work so that you see differently. And remember, we are not changing another. We're making the choice to forgive. We're breathing light, and keep breathing, beloved. We're breathing light into those dark corners, into that chaotic energy. And we're bringing peace and healing and grace to all situations. And beloved, as you do this work, know that any work in the external world, in your human world, will be revealed to you from that same light place of inner guidance. Feel your energy rise. As your breath and your body become a little lighter, as you expand into the space that is now available to you, and if it comes back to you in future, forgive again for you. And even as we sit here in this darker room, our prayers still wrapped around us, I'd like you just to gently and easily open your eyes. And know that your external eyes may be seeing things differently, just as your inner eyes see things differently. And you'll find that you have a light touch upon the world. You'll find that choice a little bit easier each time. And the grace of God, which passes all understanding, is upon you now. The grace of forgiveness is upon you now. The light of peace is upon you now. And amen.